You have landed on the Powerfall Project. Welcome back to another week. My name is Nick.
I'm Adam.
This is the Powerfall Project. We are the ultimate authority in top five lists, ranging everything from cars, books, music. What else, Adam?
Overrated, underrated. I don't know. Whatever. We do it. We do it all.
Man, you know what's not overrated is air conditioning. I'm sweating my butt off over here. I don't know if you can see that on the camera here, but I've got that little glow going. It's getting warm here in Las Vegas.
Is that Little John song? Oh, skeet, skeet, skeet. Sweat drop down my balls.
Yeah, that's going on too. You know, in fact, this might be an episode where I take off the pants just to get that extra added airflow.
Got to do that. Teabag yourself into, say, Gold Bond or baby powder?
I used to do that until I read that that's not good for your hormone levels and your testosterone. I heard that's got cancerous material in there. I used to be a talcum powder connoisseur.
Yeah. Well, you probably shouldn't eat it. But yeah, you're right. Talcum powder is basically tiny, tiny, tiny pieces of glass. So it's feel nice and smooth to your hands and to your nether region, but it's really just little pieces of glass. So even think about baby powder is probably not a good idea. But anyway, whatever. That's another one that Johnson & Johnson doesn't do right. Anyway, oh no, we're off to a bad start.
Let's just finish this bad start. I'm currently using a CBD rub. So I do enjoy just a little bit of application on the boys in the morning, just to kind of keep them flowing, and so you don't get the bat wing going to the side of your leg there. But CBD, what are you sipping on, Adam?
I have some Trader Joe's Scotch. This one is in the rum cask.
You like that? I gotta get on that one here. I'm still back finishing my Kentucky's Best from Trader Joe's. Showing the camera here.
Nice, attaboy.
Future sponsor there.
I really do like the Trader Joe's Scotch in the rum cask. I think is my wife's favorite, and so I tend to steal it. So,
has it been a week of heavy pulls on it, or has it been a lighter week for you guys? What how's the week for you guys?
Yeah, you know, pretty average week. So heavy pulls. No, you know, when I go to Trader Joe's, I end up buying like one. And I'm like, cause I don't know. I'm more of a swing by the store kind of a guy. And she's more like, we're going to go twice a month and that's it, you know, maybe once. And we're going to plan, we're going to put up a list and that's how it's going to be, you know? So she's super good at that. And then she'll buy three bottles or whatever for our, you know, month and then some. Right. And meanwhile, I'll just like swing by, I think we're a little light on this. So I'll buy one bottle of that. So my trips to the store is way more than she is. So
yeah, we go through an obnoxious amount of food, and I do most of the cooking. And yeah, I feel like I'm at Trader Joe's twice a week, and I feel like I'm at Albertsons twice a week. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious!
Mm-hmm. Have you guys done any of the delivery food grocery shopping?
No, I never did that. I never got into that. I'm not sure why. I think maybe back in the day. Back when Amazon Fresh was still kind of tied into the regular app, I used to do that a little bit. But then correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they separated it at one point and towards a different subscription service.
Yeah, that I don't know. I know that you can go to Whole Foods and get, and be like, they ask you your Prime membership. So I know that Amazon bought Whole Foods, but that's about the extent of what I know. We've done the grocery delivery a couple of times here in LA, and we go about it with the best intentions of saving some time. Usually it's funny because I do the cooking, but my wife likes to do the shopping. She actually likes the shopping part of it. And so she will, you know, sometimes we'll want to do that shopping to make sure that we have the stuff that we need, but doing it as a labor saving idea to have somebody else do it for you, you fill out your list and it's great. The problem is in LA, it's a very busy area. And so there's lots of times the food isn't there that they want to do, like, oh, you wanted avocados, but they don't have those avocados. They have these, you know, so they're constantly like texting her.
Avocados are rock hard. They send you.
right. So they're like, you know, they'll send you, will this work instead? You know, so she's constantly having to go back and forth and it's like, screw it. Let's just go to the store.
You might as well just go. Yeah.
Right.
I enjoy browsing, and especially a store, well, even Whole Foods too, but especially a store like Trader Joe's, they've always got something new and sometimes seasonal. So it's like, you know, you don't really know what you want. You got the basics, you know, lettuce, blah, 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 milk, eggs, whatever you get. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they change so much. It's so fun to just browse.
Yeah, I do like to browse if I'm like getting ideas of what I'm going to cook, something like that. Mm. That I do. Getting the staples, getting the normal stuff that we get every week, I'm so over it. I don't like that part. I prefer, and I think it's because traditionally, I generally live pretty close to grocery stores, and I generally live relatively close to work. And coming home from work, I would just swing by and pick up what I needed. And, you know, I kind of liked that. It was kind of the, there's my favorite checker. Oh, there's that other guy that comes all the time. I mean, you know, you kind of see some friendly faces. Mm-hmm, and so it's a little bit of a social thing. Not that you ever really talk to these people. And then I'm like, oh man, what am I hungry for? Oh, cool. They got a deal on salmon. I guess I'll do that. You know? So that's kind of fun. But I mean, let's be real. We're talking about grocery shopping, so none of this is really fun. But
Before we get too far into this whole thing, what are we talking about today?
All right. So this week, my inner nerd and my movie buff and all this stuff is coming out of me. Gross. But this is the top five superpowers. So basically, we just need to come up with our top five superpower. And I think we said that it needed to be, you know, maybe rationalize it to a movie or a character or a comic book or something like that. Either way, I'm excited to get this list going and hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, it was a fun list to put together. I say that every week, but this one, I'm not a big Marvel guy, as we kind of found out when we were supposed to be guests on a podcast discussing Marvel movies. And so the fantasy world is kind of new to me. Like for me, the fantasy type movies I watch are like Matrix, and anything beyond that, that's kind of where I draw the line, like Terminator, sure. Matrix.
You like the sci-fi.
Kind of. Yeah. A little bit of sci-fi, but if it gets a little, you know, if you're interacting with aliens, I don't know, it just kind of, I kind of lose, I tune out, you know?
Yeah. You prefer aliens that are real versus aliens.
Really? Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay. I'm a purist, of course.
Sure. Sure.
So I actually had to Google superpowers. So later in the list, you'll see some superpowers that made the list that I didn't really think of or didn't imagine, if you will. So
is it okay?
It was a good list.
Is it okay that I have Nick powers as one of my superpower?
Well, we could get into what grinds my gears or the rant section right now, because one of the things that really gets me fired up, or not fired up, but just makes me take a second to like breathe and swallow and just be like, okay, don't kill someone. Don't punch someone in the throat. Uh-huh. Everyone, when they hear my last name, they think they're the first person to be like, whoa, your middle name should be Super, or your middle name should be Epic, or whatever, because my last name is Powers. And so ever since the fourth grade, when that damn movie Austin Powers came out, everyone thinks they're the first to think of it. Even in 2021, there's people say, whoa, wait a minute. So like, oh yeah, like Austin. I'm like, yeah, you get in line, man. You're like the 700th person to say that this week. But then the superpowers ones too is one that people think they're the first to land on. I'm like, no.
I'm so clever.
I got this one. Yeah, come up with something new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is one that you've heard only once that's clever? Are there any?
Ah, goodness. I'll have to come back to that. I don't think I've heard anything unique lately.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone. I just started getting in front of it. I just tell people, it's Powers. You know, like Awesome Powers. Yeah. It sounds like a superhero or a porn star. And then, right. then they laugh, and that kind of diffuses the situation because they already beat him to the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to listen to that.
Yeah.
The worst is when they double down and do like the Austin Powers impression.
Oh,
yeah, baby. And I'm like, God, just I'm gonna rip your ears off.
Yeah. What's a good one you can hit them back with? I mean, you're like, no, it's horsepower, motherfucker.
I mean, just make them feel dumb. Like, the movie. I never thought of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that, Nick. I'm sorry that you had to.
I do truly enjoy my last name, and I've kind of come to terms with the fact that I'm going to be owning that for the rest of my life. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a generational thing. Like I said, fourth grade is when it came out, and
yeah, it seems to be more kind of like a power struggle, really.
uh, Oh, if I could only reach to that camera right now. how was your week, dude?
Good. What did I do? I did a lot, but I can't think of much. You know, that's what I did. I took my wife on a drive down the Pacific Coast Highway. That was pretty cool.
Solid.
Yeah. So she had something going on. She was going to be done around, I don't even remember, noon or something. And I was like, okay, cool. Jump in the car. Here we go. And we just drove. And it probably took about an hour to get to the area that I wanted to go to then to get to the point where we could be on the PCH. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. You had to put in an hour and then you're on the PCH and you're just going. We went south. I've never really gone south. So we went south towards, past Seal Beach and onto like Laguna.
Oh, and yeah.
All down that area. And pretty much we just went until you couldn't go any further, where you have to kind of get on the I-5 and then get back on the I-5 and go down to Carlsbad. So we didn't do that, but basically just went till we couldn't go any further and just kind of made a day of it. Got some fish and chips, and it felt kind of normal to be outside. And yeah, man, it was pretty great to be able to just do that and talk and hang out, because she's been super stressed and busy with work and launching her business, and I've been pretty, heads down grinding with work myself. And so it's good to just be able to sit and talk about normal things as a couple. So that was pretty cool.
I feel like we won this week as husbands. Yeah, because we kind of did the same thing. We had a Friday where we were both off. And we got up early, went up to Mount Charleston and did one of the hikes up there. There's like 20 different hikes you can do up there. We did one up to an area called Raintree, which was about, I think the hike starts at around 7,000 feet, ends around 10,000 feet. And it was beautiful. It was scenic. It was 8 miles round trip, which is about 7 farther than Jane wanted to go, but she did it. She's a champ.
I always lied her into it.
It's a short hike. It's an easy hike. But what I'm secretly trying to do is warm her up to be prepared for the full Mount Charleston hike to hit the summit.
Oh,
that one's a 16-mile round trip.
Whew.
And I know a lot of people here in Vegas that have done it, and a few that said, yeah, we'll do it this year, 2021. We'll do it again. So I think it opens up here in another couple of weeks. There's still snow at the top.
Oh, I was going to say, what do you mean? You're going to wait till it's like super freaking middle of the summer hot before they open it? I don't understand.
That's the nice thing about Charleston, because you start so high, it's already cool. We had to bring layers on that hike, and we did still, even at 10,000 feet, we ran into snow again.
Cool.
Not a whole lot, but just like, 20, 40 foot patches of snow where the trail kind of, goes through the snow patch, and then you're fine again.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful area though, because the trees start to thin out. And all the trees up there are like super beat up by wind. And so they look like Twizzlers that are all twisted and kind of gnarly. And
yeah,
some of the locals up there were trying to give us all their 2 cents of information about the history of the hill, the mountain there. And they were saying those trees are thousands of years old. I don't know whether I believe that or not, but the trees did look really, really old.
Yeah. They probably, did they ask them? That's how they know. That's cool.
So that was our Friday. We did that. And, that was good. Obviously cell phones don't even work up there in most of the places. So it was good to disconnect. And like I said, I think we got some brownie points as husbands this week.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I did a little bit of that myself. I did my own man walk. I actually ran a little bit, believe it or not. I ran.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. We went on a little run. She texted me and she was like, I'm like, I'm on my way home. She's like, you want to go running? And I'm like, shit. Okay. Yeah, so we did. So we went on a little run to Larchmont area, which is a really, it's kind of like I've talked about it before, but it's kind of like an old, cool Hollywood mansion type homes. And they have a nice little little village area that you can go to where they had, it was just nice to be out and about. Had a really, really good burger from a place called the Uncool Burger. So, you know, I followed them on Instagram and I got a dollar burger. So that was awesome. Cool. And then a little ice cream. No big deal. But
describe the burger. Was it like one of those artisan burgers with like a specialty bun, or what kind of flavor was it?
Yeah, I was starving, so I just smoked it, but it was a really, really good burger, flat grill style. You know, so it's, you know, the grease patty, you know, your Five Guys or Shake Shack style, right? So it's
my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's just in the grease, right? And then they do this is the cool part. What? So they have like an onion jam, which onions are not my jam, but this is pretty good. and then they do like this Parmesan cheese mix that they grill almost like a crusted pancake.
Okay.
And then they throw that on top of the burger or on top of the patty. Mm-hmm. And then you got your normal stuff in there, and then you can throw on extras if you want. And then the bun was just, bun was good. And they had some, you know, like every other place in the world, it was like truffle fries now, truffle garlic fries or whatever. So you just smell them from a mile away.
It's a $20 burger then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
$15.
I think with my dollar burger and her meal, it was like 22, okay. $25, something like that. So with fries and a couple drinks. Yeah, man, that was good. But what I wanted to tell you was on this drive that I went with Diana, in my aimless searches on Instagram, or watching reels or whatever I'm doing, there was this cool interview with Jay-Z, and I've quoted him a couple of times, and I've talked about the fact that maybe I wasn't the biggest Jay-Z fan as a rapper, but I am truly a Jay-Z fan as a man, entrepreneur, father and husband, from what I can see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he had this quote where he was being interviewed, and he kind of, I don't know if he took over the interview or he kind of just stopped this question. It was just a cut. So, but he says, hold on. Well, the goal, the purpose is not to become successful and famous and wealthy. The goal is to find out what your God-given ability is. Find it in line with your passion and then give it everything you have. And then the success, the money, the fame will come as a byproduct. And I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, it sounds so very similar to a coach I had in college that talked about, you know, pursuing excellence and winning being a byproduct. And so I just, it just was really cool. It stuck with me. So, Diana and I were bouncing that back and forth while we were on our drive, just kind of talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
Where was this interview at? Was it on YouTube or was it on a podcast?
It was on Instagram Reels.
Oh, Instagram. Sorry, so Instagram just, Reels.
Yeah, it was like a cut from a longer interview.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's good.
But yeah, I think it's fun to get those creative juices flowing, because I think you and me have pursued a lot of passions, have been successful at things. But I think the last year and a half has really helped us open our minds to cultivating that idea of what is it that I'm really good at and what is it that I really love and how do I tap into that? And then it'd be cool if I could monetize it, because that would be really, you know, helpful for, you know, our livelihoods and things like that. But at the same time, just getting out of bed, just excited about pursuing excellence every day, I think is a really, really cool message that he was given.
Yeah, no, that's good. I spent some time with I'll get into it later, but I spent some time with a career coach this weekend, and he was quizzing me on, you know, what I've done over the years. And it was everything from mortgage sales back in the refinance boom in the early 2000s. Then it was, you know, outside sales for a motorcycle company. Then it was fitness for 9 years. Now it's photos and video. And he's looking at me like, what the hell? I'm like zigzagging all across the board. He's like, I don't know how to write your resume.
Right.
And it was interesting getting his perspective from it. And so like that inspired me, deflated me, and then inspired me again. Cause it inspired me. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. And he's like, yeah, I don't know how to write your resume.
Right.
I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I got 1,000 skills, but a master of none, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, shit, I better double down on this video thing. Cause that's right now, that's about all I know. And that's all I'm decent at. And I've made a lot of headway in it. And, yeah, unless I want to go back to, you know, coaching fitness, which I don't want to do. I'm really having a good time working out without having to coach people.
Yeah. Or you just videotape me not working out very well and just be like, this is again, what not to do, you know,
what not to do when workouts go wrong.
Right.
But no, we were, so I was working with this film, career coach. My filmmaker friend, Michael, has this buddy that he's been shooting, kind of a pilot TV series for.
Yeah.
And he called me up and asked if I could help him do some camera work for him this weekend so he could, you know, focus solely on directing and, you know, buttoning down all the fine details. And that was my kind of my first experience of just being simply a camera operator. And it was a lot of fun.
That is cool.
The fun part is, well, the kind of the renegade part about it was we were running around the Las Vegas Strip filming in a ton of different areas where you should need a permit. Mm-hmm. But we were trying to keep such a small footprint that we could do it kind of commando style.
Right.
And yeah, we actually did not get hassled. Now, I've been kicked off of one place 2 years ago on the Strip for photo and, you know, doing some photo stuff. Cause I was kind of making a scene a little bit too, but anyways, we got it done and
well, cause you were naked.
Well, no, I had a tripod, which apparently you're not supposed to have a tripod on the Strip.
Like I said, you were naked.
Taking selfies. Nick naked at the Mirage. But no, it was fun. We were running
that,
around.
Isn't that your power stance? You just use the third leg as your tripod? No? I don't really understand.
You should see me break dance. Oh, if you want to ever have a windmill contest, let me know.
Yeah, you'd use the pocket watch instead of when everybody else is using the wristwatch, right?
that's one of those memes that I kind of broke the ice with my dad. You know the meme I'm talking about where it's, hey, check out my new watch.
Right.
And it's a nice Rolex, but then there's a dong in the picture too. You know?
Yep.
My dad finally figured out how to use his iPhone a couple of years ago. And that's been kind of a bonding thing too, because he doesn't know how to find all these things on the internet. But, you know, I'm blessed to have multiple friends that send me just, yes, all different levels of obnoxious, disgusting,
yep,
and hilarious memes. So I forward them to him. And that's the greatest thing he's seen all day, you know, or all year.
Oh, so good.
It's a bonding moment. You know, memes are bringing us together.
Well, back to your guerrilla videoing of naked men. It's very similar to, well, Jon Favreau did that. Quentin Tarantino did that when they were filming on budgets, when they were trying to do, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino when he was doing Reservoir Dogs, and Jon Favreau with Vince Vaughn when they're doing Swingers. They were filming inside casinos, like just guerrilla style as quickly as they could.
Dude,
and then
it's damn near impossible to film inside a casino. I don't know how you do that.
Oh yeah. Well, they were off Strip, obviously. And it was, you know, what, the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're filming parts in casinos, and then, you know, they're having a mad dash to the next place. So
I will tell you though, Vegas is coming back. It's not the full experience yet, but we spent almost 7 hours on Saturday on the Strip. Mm. And we hiked probably 5 miles up and down, back and forth, trying to get the lighting correct in this one shot.
Oh, yeah.
We had to film in like 9 different locations to film this trailer we're working on. Bless you.
Ooh,
and dude, I have never been so wiped out. And then we had to refilm one thing on Sunday and then hit another thing on Monday, which is why a little behind the scenes here, we're recording on a Tuesday versus a Monday. That's one of the reasons why I couldn't even make it there. I was just so wiped out. So I took some Nick time yesterday and recharged batteries. I'm fresh for you guys.
Atta boy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the LA is definitely getting there. It is definitely getting there. Like, I mean, we're still, you know, there's still some stuff that I have a tough time with, but it does seem like restaurants are opening up a little bit more. Matter of fact, you'll love this. So I had a burger on Friday night, and then Saturday night after our, or I don't know, my dates are wrong, but anyway, the day before we had a burger, and then we went running, and then my wife was like, what do you feel like eating? And I'm like, Mexican food sounds good. She's like, okay, cool. There's this taco joint right over here. I'm like, great. We park, we run across, and it's, you know, LA's back. Pretty packed. And so we hustle across the street, you know, jaywalking like a good Samaritans we were, and hustled in there and got there kind of before the rush, which was great. And she loves to do things like this to me, but we're like second in line, and then there's probably six or seven people behind us. And she's like, I think this place is vegan. And I'm like,
oops.
And I'm like, all right, let's give it a shot. So I had a vegan carne asada burrito, and you know what, dude, it was actually pretty good.
I'll give that to you. I've had a couple of vegan meals here since it being in Las Vegas, and they've all been pretty good. Now, my only suggestion is whatever you order, order two.
Yeah. I did go through a healthy amount of chips and guac beforehand, in anticipation that I was going to be hungry afterwards.
So
that definitely helped. So I wasn't super hungry afterwards, but went home and had a huge bowl of ice cream. So really bounced it out there.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I had a Brazilian dish and it was phenomenal, but I'm like, I paid like $15 for it. And I could have easily killed one more, maybe two more.
Wait, Brazilian, and it wasn't meat?
No, it wasn't meat. It was some pseudo meat, some beans, some rice,
wax.
Yes, wax and some you know, lint and armpit. You know, I don't know. Yeah. It was some toe jam, but it tasted phenomenal. But I literally could have eaten minimum one more, maybe two more of them.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna spend $45 on lunch.
Right, right. But
just,
back
just to feel, yeah. just to feel good about myself,
right?
And the planet.
Speaking of that, so last week I believe I was talking about how, or actually not last week, 2 weeks ago I was talking about underrated and how. I talked about it last week. I was like, it was one that I missed, and one thing that I wanted to talk about was having a little commute. Was a little bit underrated.
Yeah.
Well, I've changed my tune because this week it was not fun to commute, especially when you're just a little bit late and you're trying to make up for time. The commute sucks, especially because you're, you know, when you're like, you know what? On a good day, I can get there in 17 minutes. And you leave the house and you look and you get in the car and you're pulling out and you're like, cool, 14 minutes till I'm late. You know, you're like, oh, good luck, everybody, because we're going to go after this. And then, you know, you hit a red light or something and you just see the time ticking and you're like, it's over. There's no making up for this and I'm going to be late. But it's cool because I'll just be stressed the whole time.
Dude, you hit a red light in Vegas and that's 5 minutes.
Right?
The Vegas lights are so long, not even on the strip too, but off the strip, the Vegas lights are so long. And I put the car in park sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I go basically Mid Wilshire to Beverly Hills and not a single light seems to be like in sync. You know what I mean? And not, you know, and not just bye, but, but like how you can't hit a green and then hit a consecutive green.
Just got that, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm stupid. But yeah, I mean, if you're like, oh, cool, got this green light, next one's red. It's just how it goes. It just doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. So it's frustrating. Oh, well, whatever. But, you know, pretty light rant day. I got a couple things to bring up. But, you know, other than the commute sucks, not a whole lot. How about you? What do you got? You got anything?
I got a rant, but I do want to pay homage to the fact that we just dropped our previous recording was episode number 40.
Heck yeah.
Now, we'll do something special for episode 50.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think we were going to make it past 10 episodes. I just didn't know how this thing was going to shape up. And I just kept trusting you, and here we are, you know, 6-9 months later, whatever it is. And
it's crazy.
We're still having fun. And yeah, episode 40 just dropped. That was a fun episode. I just finished editing it. It's dropping. It'll be out by the time this one's out, obviously.
That's cool.
But yeah, great episode. These lists are fun. I really do feel like we're making our name in these lists.
Yeah. Yeah. The lists are a blast. I do have a good time with it. I always throw the texts out to people. Sometimes I try to spread out the wealth a little bit. You know, I hit my buddy Spencer down in Tampa. You know, I got, you know, buddy Kurt, Cole. I always hit these guys up to try
some
to
lifelines.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to hit up Egg every once in a while, but he's now Mr. Big Time with his job. And so he's a lot tougher to get a hold of now. But actually everyone that I hit up now is Mr. Big Time now in their field. So it's been pretty cool to see those guys really climbing the ladders. So that's fun. But I love, you know, just in being able to throw out the lifelines to these people in my life, I just am reminded of how truly cool it is to have really, really good people in my life. So anyway, I just want to get a little sappy on the air there real quick before I hit a couple of rants.
Yeah. But
to your point, we're going to hit number 50 here pretty soon. And that means that's 2 weeks away from our anniversary, because that would mean we've been doing it for a year, because we have dropped one every single week.
We've been consistent. That's one thing. I mean, I'll give you all the credit on that. You pushed us to be consistent. And yeah, we got to do something special for 50.
Yeah, we got to brainstorm that. Obviously, if any listeners have any ideas, that would be cool. But yeah, man, we got to do something. That would be fun.
Yeah. So I got a couple of things that got me fired up this week. Kind of the rant section here.
Yes.
Have you ever? So I had a situation where I was working with a client. Kind of, and I was trying to schedule some stuff with the client, and it was a really tight operation. Have you ever had someone try to manage your time for you?
Yep.
Meaning they're like, oh, so wait, what time do you get out of the meeting? Oh, so 2 o'clock. So, oh, it'll only take you 20 minutes to get across town to here. So that'll give you plenty of time to meet with me. Then we can do this. And that should only take 5 minutes. And then, oh, you got to pick up your wife. Oh, from here to there, that'll take 5 minutes. So yeah, no worries. You got plenty of time, bro.
Yeah. No, thanks. I don't need your help. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a situation last week where a client was kind of doing that to me, and I'm like, hey, I need some nick time. There's got to be some buffer time in there. There's got to be some nick time in there.
Yep.
Like I don't like rushing stuff, and I don't like when people are trying to manage my time. So that was my rant for the week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I mean, you need transition time, right? You need, I definitely, when I'm client facing. And so like, I need time to, okay, close the book on that one. Even though I am fully prepped on this next one, let me take 5, 10, 15 minutes to look over everything so that I am again refreshed and prepped for this next one. And that's nobody's business. You know, like, yeah. So I get what you're saying. I've had it where someone will tell me the wrong time to make sure that I'm there on time.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
With the idea that I don't show up on time or something like that. You know, like whether I show up on time or I'm early or I'm late or any of that kind of stuff. If I have a track record of showing up late, by all means, do that. That's because I've clearly shown that my time is more valuable than yours. And by all means, Nick, I do apologize because I'm usually late for the podcast every week. But that being said, when somebody will be like, all right, yeah, no, the tea time is at 8 o'clock, when it's really at 8:20, and they just think that you're going to show up late, like that. And so now I'm there at 7:30 because I need to get ready for the 8 o'clock tea time, and they're like, yeah, no, it's at 8:20, and I'm like, you.
I'm usually 15 minutes early, and that's just something that's been imprinted in my brain, you know, because I've had a job since I was 15.
Yep.
You know, and that's just something that's been imprinted on me. And I get anxiety if I'm not 15 minutes early somewhere. So most times I'm early. Now, I can't say I'm 100% perfect always, but I mean, pretty much everything is early. It drives Jane nuts.
Yeah, I am not great at being 15 minutes early. I am pretty good about being on time. I hate being late and I hate rushing, but I don't love being on time and hate rushing enough to make sure that I'm there 15 minutes early every time. So it's like a weird balance too.
It's,
I don't know. I don't like it when other people are waiting on me. I also don't like waiting on other people if they're late. So, I mean, I get it on both sides. I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than that feeling when you're trying to jam through lights, you're trying to speed an extra 5 miles an hour on the freeway, because in all reality, that really doesn't help. You know, the extra 5 miles an hour on a freeway, it might get you there 35, 45 seconds early.
Right.
Depending how far you're going, but it really doesn't make that big of a difference.
It's very, very
true.
But
that anxiety you feel is the worst to me. I'd rather sit in the car and have to screw the pooch, as we discussed in other episodes, screw the pooch for 15 minutes, you know, on Facebook or whatever.
No, that's not what it means, but go ahead. Yep.
I'd rather have to sit in the car and listen to the morning talk show. But yeah, I've built kind of buffers around time management. When people ask you, hey, what time you get up in the morning? What time are you available? I build my buffer. Cause if I tell people I get up at 6:30 in the morning, I don't want them to be like, oh yeah, be at my house at 8 then.
Right. Like, no,
I say I'm available after 10.
Yep.
Cause I like to get up, do my thing. I need a half hour to do my coffee. I enjoy making coffee the slowest way possible. Pour over.
Yep.
I enjoy, you know, having that time to listen to a podcast. I enjoy that time to stretch. I enjoy getting in the shower and taking my time getting out the door, maybe go get a workout in.
Yep.
It just makes me a better person. So I've kind of built these barriers around protecting my time. But I had a client last week that was trying to manage my time for me. And I'm like, first off, I said, every video shoot takes a lot of different time. You know, there's something could take 5 minutes to film. Something could take, you know, an hour to film. Depends on, you know, there's so many variables.
Yep.
Because that's what happens when you make things look easy behind the camera. You know, sometimes we do stuff with the camera and it works the first time. And then the client gets used to that. And I'm like, yeah, that was a happy accident. You know, sometimes it doesn't always go that way, you know?
Yeah.
So yep. that's about my only rant really this week.
That's a good one. I mean, I don't somebody manage my time. I'll punch them in the face. I just had a funny thought, but it was a little bit depressing. And I think it's not depressing. It's just kind of how where we are. But on your phone, you have facial recognition tool that like opens it, right? So like you look at it and you're like, okay, now it's open. Cool. Well, I had this realization this weekend where my facial recognition tool. So there's obvious, like I'm wearing an effing mask and it doesn't recognize me. Of course. Then I got to type in the PIN or whatever. Or sometimes if I'm looking, you know, like I'm trying to look at it in bed or something and I'm giving it the three double chin, sometimes it doesn't get it. Or if I have my, you know, my big cool guy sunglasses on, it doesn't recognize it, which is no big deal. But I had a moment this weekend where I was smiling and it didn't recognize me. And I'm like, really? I'm such a ornery prick that my phone only recognizes me when I'm like straight face
RBF.
You know, RBF. I'm like, do I really never smile at my phone? But my phone, it's like, oh yeah, huh? Weird. We haven't seen a smile on you in years, so we don't know how to recognize you. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? That's just ridiculous. So, oh, that a boy.
Hey, little topper there.
Yeah.
You know, my phone does the thing where if I do the under the triple chin,
yeah,
it doesn't get it sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not kidding. Like 9 out of 10 times, it gets it with my sunglasses on.
Yeah. Mine does too. I was just kind of being a, you know, obnoxious trying to.
That's baffling to me because a lot of it should have to do with your eye shape, diameter, spacing, in my opinion, right? Eyes. That's the most unique thing on someone, right?
Right. But if you're like me, who when I get laughing or smiling, I definitely squint. And I've just seen it in pictures and videos of myself, you know, when I'm really laughing and really smiling, I'm super like squinted. And apparently it was like, we don't know who you are, you know, happy guy. We don't know who you are with your smile. Try again.
They had some issues when that face technology first came out with the iPhones. Like a lot of Asian people, like a lot of them could open each other's phones. They're like, iPhone's racist.
Get out of here. No way.
Yeah. And that was one of the funniest questions. I know a set of twins, and that was one of the funniest questions they solicited on Instagram through one of those polls. They're like, ask me a question. And someone asked, can you open your sister's phone? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. It's funny.
Oh, racist or racist.
Racist.
Yeah. So that wasn't really a rant. That was just kind of funny that happened. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
I had another thing.
Go for it.
So I watched a movie and it was a pretty good movie. It's not good enough for me to like say the name of it, but it was a Netflix one. And it was a good, I would say, thriller. Okay. So, you know, Jane would be able to hang in on this one.
But Mean Girls?
But actually, Amanda Siegfried was in it. Was she in Mean Girls? I think so. Anyway, it was a thriller, and they were unpeeling the onion that the husband was the bad guy. Now, whenever in my household, where it's my wife and I, where she's been stuck in an 800 square foot apartment since God knows how long with this whole COVID thing. Anytime we watch a show where it's like, oh, look at this stupid ass husband or this mean ass husband or, you know, whatever. I totally catch the blame for everything that he does. And, but this guy, what I truly did not like about this situation was he was clearly the bad guy in this movie, right? He did terrible things like murder his wife. Okay. But they give you this leash that it's like, okay, so anyway, everybody, just so you know, this guy's kind of bad. Okay. This guy's really bad. Okay. This guy's really bad. Okay. This guy's horrible. Okay. This guy is demonic. You know what I mean? But they do so in the way that they like, everything the guy does is bad. And I'm like, this is frustrating because it makes it look like every decision that he did was evil. And then you're like, okay, well then how did he get married? How did he get this job? How did he get into this place if he's just constantly being terrible? And I guess my point with all of this is it was like little things were, because we knew at the end this guy was going to be terrible and bad, that we can look at all these little things that he did throughout and then like draw conclusions that those are terrible. And that's the part of like I get paranoid, and that's my conspiracy theory about like programming, you know? And it's like this guy, he kind of like flubbed on his resume about like the letter of recommendation that he got. And it was at the point of the movie where it was like, see, this guy even does that. What a terrible person. And I'm like, Steven Spielberg lied on his resume. It's how he got to direct Jaws. So let's not jump to conclusions too much here. And then there was like, it was like lots of little things that isolated are not a big deal. But the way that it was painted in this light was just that this dude is just a horrible human being. And I'm not taking the side of this demonic husband. I'm just saying that like in a movie where I'm watching with my wife, where I happen to be the husband, and they just continuously paint this guy in this terrible light, I'm like, we got to do better in our storytelling. Like we have done an incredible job in the last, call it, 5 to 8 years where we've had significant multifaceted depth in female-led characters, whether they be Angelina Jolie in Salt, or they have Ocean's 8, or they have, and those are terrible examples, but they've had incredible examples of women being the lead, that they don't have to be a size zero, that they don't have to have a husband or boyfriend to be an incredible lead in this movie, or all of these other things that they've done really great job in showing a woman-led cast or woman-led storytelling in a movie. Yet I feel like they've done an equally bad job of showing the average guy as being a piece of shit. And I don't necessarily like that. So that was just something that kind of bothered me, and I'll get off my soapbox, but that was just one thing that kind of stuck in my side a little bit. I'm like, is it beneficial for us to show men? We don't necessarily need the late 80s and early 90s of the Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Sylvester Stallone, you know, macho men movie off, but it doesn't hurt us to show good men.
Yeah. The everyone's afraid of toxic masculinity, but that's kind of what we need a little more of, because it's kind of gone away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a similar vein, you know, we've talked about this before too, but I hate when they make the guys out to be pandering idiots.
Yeah.
You know, it needed to stop with Al Bundy. Now, that was the final straw on that. You know, that was a good show, funny show, but all the episodes were all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Family Guy does that. The Simpsons have done that. We've grown up in a generation where the husband was supposed to kind of be a working class, drink his beer, not actually achieve what he wanted. But at least his family was happy.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality too. So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Or, you know, Modern Family.
Right, right.
You know, we gotta, you know, be not necessarily pandering, but definitely, okay, let's just happy wife, happy life, not happy spouse, happy house. So anyway, it's just, it was interesting. So.
My wife has been on this kick where she's slowly getting into like murder documentaries.
Mm.
And we haven't gone into a lot of the Netflix ones, but she found a gal on YouTube that has a really good channel just based on like murders, weird stories, disappearances, unsolved mysteries, and some that have been solved. I'll give her a shout out. She's got a pretty good channel. It's Kendall Ray.
Kendall Ray?
Kendall Ray, yep. She just kind of recounts these stories. They could be macabre. They could be all kinds of different stuff. But she does a pretty good job, you know, collecting footage from the original case.
What's macabre?
Actually, I use that word pretty confidently, and I don't really know 100%. Wouldn't be the first time I'm speaking out of my ass here. Dark and just kind of like uncomfortable stories, and that are usually murder mysteries or something like that. But she does a really good job kind of telling the story.
What's her name again?
Kendall Ray.
Kendall Ray. Kendall Ray is killing it on the murder stuff.
Yeah, she's kind
of killing it.
Good God. Dad jokes.
I totally was listening to what you said. I wasn't totally waiting for my opportunity to drop a dad joke.
But yeah, apparently it's pretty common for girls to be into, or women to be into, murder and murderers, kind of be obsessed with that whole genre.
Listen, I just saw on my Hulu account that they were advertising a new Law and Order where that same dude I used to watch in middle school is still on there.
Still on it, yeah.
And now, granted, it's great. I mean, it was great. It still apparently is good. I don't know. I haven't seen it in 15 years. But, I mean, they're still doing it. But weird. A cop drama? A hospital drama? a lawyer drama, and it's
still going.
Seems to go okay. I mean, like, yeah, yeah. It seems there. Yeah, I saw that seems same promo. To be there seems to be something to the investigative, the murder mystery. And that being said, I mean, I used to watch back in the early 90s, late 80s with my dad. We'd watch PBS Mystery on Sunday nights, you know, and you'd watch all these old British, like either whether it was Sherlock Holmes or Prime Suspect or any of these other murder mysteries. So it's all there, man. It's always has been.
Talk about something that they really, really amped up and poured the sauce on. Remember Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? Damn. But they couldn't have made that a more dark and scary feel. Mm-hmm. You know, dark room. I think they even had some of that artificial atmosphere smoke going around.
Yeah.
They really played that up. Oh, and you watch a lot of those.
You wonder why kids aren't allowed to play outside anymore. It's not because abductions. It's not because of violence. It's not because of the, you know, those things. It's because of Cops. It's because Cops the show, excuse me.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
No.
Let's get political.
Sorry. That show you just said,
Unsolved Mysteries.
Maybe, yeah. Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah, thank you. And then you think about all the Law and Orders and Special Victims Unit, and that whole show, Special Victims Unit, is all about kids getting killed or lost or molested, dismantled. It's just, it's absolutely terrible. And it's not that it's just so much safer out there to let your kids go ride their bike. It's that the people that are raising them have had 40 years of Law and Order, Unsolved Mysteries, the show Cops, and all these other things that are just, I mean, like, it's, there's a, I mean, oh my God, there's another.
I think the world's changed a little bit though.
I mean, you talk about conspiracy theories. I mean, there's a reason why they call it programming, right? I mean,
right.
We're kind of getting programmed, but anyway, take my silver hat off now.
I think it's changed a little bit in the sense that pedophiles and predators have more access to information, and so they can fuel their desires or whatever a little bit more. You know, pedophiles especially have, you know, Instagram and Facebook just like everyone else does, and so they can fuel the fire a little bit more. So that's about the only thing that's changed in my opinion.
Sure, but you got helicopter parents, you got cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
you've got. I mean. I just think that we also need to understand that fear sells and we're all fucking scared. So
you're right. Fear and sex. If you want to make a successful show.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. What are those shows all do? They're like, oh, don't take my kids. Don't hurt me. That guy's hot. That girl's hot. Right. It's like weird, but you keep watching. I don't know. Anyway,
that's funny.
Anyway, shit. Should we?
I got a question for you. I was going to say, last week we talked about the top five people who are doing us better than we are doing ourselves. Basically, that couldn't have come out any worse. But basically, we were talking about the top five people that we are kind of trying to shape our lives after, and that would be a goal or something to aspire to. Do you have anyone that didn't make the list last week that popped into your head this week?
No. I mean, I think probably if we wait a second, I might come up with one, but I didn't have anybody that I had to share. How about you?
I don't have anyone specific, but I have a category that I struggle with a lot.
Okay.
And that is the category of comedy.
Okay.
There's an inner person inside of me that wants to be a comedian.
Okay.
But I have a massive moral dilemma with it, meaning that I've been in the church my entire life. I've you know, wavered in my level of commitment and whatnot in that whole thing. But I love comedy, and you know, trust circle here with us.
Yeah, it's just you and me. It's just you and me.
Yeah, I love some of the dirtiest comedy.
Yeah,
and there's a part of me that would want to do that, and so like. Any comedian, you could pretty much insert any comedian, and I'd be like, yeah, that's the inner comedian in me that it wants to come out.
Yep.
But I got this moral dilemma that I go through all the time. But on the contrary, I do keep a running list on my iPhone of either jokes or funny topics or funny like premises that I've come up with that I'm still kind of working out.
Yeah.
And I do invest a little bit of time. I probably hit the list probably every 7 to 10 days and add something to it.
I love it.
And I don't know what to do with that. You know, one of these days I might just have to do an open mic and see what happens. But it's the moral dilemma because some of the stuff I laugh at is just, it would get me canceled.
Well, and the funny thing is that before we started this podcast, you and I had both had thrown out the gauntlet and talked about doing an open mic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to your point, we're both people that swim in circles that we would like to continue swimming in that circle. And again, that fear doesn't allow us to necessarily be as authentic as we would like when it comes to something like that. And that's too bad, especially in my opinion, if you're talking about, here I'm going to get on my soapbox, but at the same time, like if you have to pretend to be somebody else so that you can be in a group that is a Christian based, then you've got yourself a paradox, dog chasing his tail there, because the whole point, in my opinion, is to be who you are. Understand that you are flawed, or, you know, to use the term, a sinner, and then you can be forgiven for that. But being wrong is never okay in the Christian faith, in my opinion. So that's another soapbox, and I'm, you know, a drink in, so maybe who knows.
Yeah, I still think we do need to do that open mic just to at least check it off our list. And I do know, if you come to Vegas, I think Pauly Shore and kind of his crew that he runs in here, I think they have an open mic on Tuesdays, which would be really fun.
Okay.
So just throwing it out into the universe there.
Well, I tell you what, if you do it, I'll do it. And it would be fun if we did it together at the same time. Yeah. We also have an avenue here with a podcast where we could say, okay, you bring your 5 minutes, you know, 30 seconds, I'll bring my 30 seconds.
I thought about that. I want to do it on stage.
Okay.
All right. I do want to do it on stage because I want to be able to, if I get a laugh, learn or just practice, you know, pausing and,
yeah,
playing to the crowd just a little bit. Because, you know, if you do get a laugh where I think you're going to get a laugh, you're going to need to pause for a second. And then if I do get a laugh, I'm going to go with, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure. If I get a laugh, yep, I'm going to hit it with another tagline and then another tagline. And if I don't get a laugh, then I'll kind of, you know, bury the hatchet.
You're right, because everything that I've read or listened to someone who is a comedian, it's not that they're just funny. They're not. They're extremely observant, and then can tell a story. Jeez, that boy, is that number three for you?
There's not much left. I'm showing the camera. There's like a little half dribble in there. I'm like, looking at it for the longest time. I'm like, I gotta get this out of here.
They respect the writing process, and to think that telling jokes isn't a formula, you're missing it. So to your point, you're an observant guy who's written down a whole lot of things. If you put it into the right formula and then you get comfortable with your cadence and stuff, you absolutely could be a comedian just like, you know, anybody else that works at it. And that's the cool part. I think that people think that they have to be, oh, well, that guy's really funny, so he's going to be a comedian. No, he knows the process.
My favorite comedians, yeah, are more not performers, because I don't like a real theatrical guy, but at the same time, I really enjoy a storyteller. And yeah, there's an art to storytelling.
Yep.
One of my favorite comedians, Bert Kreischer, he is the ultimate storyteller. He used to have a podcast just around this, but he would hear people's stories, they would tell him a story, and then he would ask them a bunch of questions. And then he would retell the story to them in his verbs. And yes, he's like, it's the same story. You know, I might've juiced up just a few things here and there, but it's the same story, but it's a hell of a lot more funny.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And that's kind of something that's topical right now too, is, you know, he's famous for the machine story, yes, story where he goes to Russia and robs a train and gets involved with the Russian mafia, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
He's now filming, the machine movie.
Oh,
I think Serbia. He just flew out last week to Serbia. I think it's Serbia.
That's so good. Oh my God. That's awesome.
So I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, my drink is dry.
Okay.
So I know that you bring in the bottle just so that you can refill yourself. And I didn't do that. So I'm going to need
we'll take a quick pause.
All right. In this week's episode, we've teased it enough. This is the top five super power, which is odd because we are the Powerfall Project and this is the first time we've talked about superpowers. Nick Powers, what do you think about that?
I love it. It always takes some explaining when people say, you know, what's the name of your podcast? I'm like, the Powerfall Project. And they're like, wait, Powerfall? Like it's going down. I'm like, no, It's a combination. It's a hybrid inbred stepchild of our last names together, mm-hmm. Powers and Fallert, mm-hmm. Addy Pimp Daddy. Mm-hmm. And so it always takes a little bit of explaining, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like the trust fall. Wait, no, it's nothing like that at all, actually. Nah. But whatever. What are we going to do? So this week we have the top five superpower. Now, I'm curious, before we dive right into this list, is there a way that you categorized? How did you get to your top five?
Yeah, so some of our lists are topical, pop culture, you know, cars, music, all kinds of, and those are pretty subjective. And every now and then we do these fantasy lists. And I enjoy the fantasy list, but honestly, those are the ones I have to do more homework on. True. And so because I didn't grow up watching a lot of, like, as my dad calls them, make-em-ups, make-believes, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, we didn't watch a lot of, like, Marvel comics. We didn't watch a lot of, you know, stuff that was unrealistic or whatever. I don't know the correct term. But anyways, I had to Google superpowers.
Oh, okay. Because
prior to this week doing the research, the superpowers that I knew of were the ability to fly, yep. and the ability to be invisible.
Yep.
And so I Googled superpowers on a couple of different websites, and I came up with probably 15 different superpowers.
Okay.
So I had kind of the week to marinate on it and think, you know, so I tried to, this sounds funny, but I tried to make them so they're not too far-fetched. You know, we alluded last week when we were trying to hash out this list, like, we don't want to make it to, like, you know, the genie in the bottle, you know, the first wish is going to be infinity wishes.
Right.
We didn't want to make it too far-fetched.
Yeah. Well, maybe you
that's
didn't.
That's a thing.
Maybe you didn't.
No. I think one of mine might be kind of far-fetched. But anyways, I had to Google these superpowers. And then I don't know. They're numbered for sure. But I don't know if they're numbered in a way like number one is like the one I'd want. But if we could take like all five of these, you'd have the ultimate superhero.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, that's good. So I do have to share one thing with you, and maybe it's some homework assignment for you. But I'm a big fan of M. Night Shyamalan, who's actually coming out with a new movie this summer, which I'm excited about because I'll actually maybe, just maybe, get to go see it in the theater, which is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, buddy.
So M. Night Shyamalan wrote, directed, actually was a part of, and produced most of his movies. And he has a movie that is my favorite. Now, most everybody knows him from The Sixth Sense or mm-hmm. Signs, you know. But my favorite movie of his was Unbreakable. Mm. And the premise of Unbreakable basically was the whole comic book culture and how these comic books were basically exaggerated forms of actual superpower. Okay. So you bring up a really good point too, because if you're talking about maybe somebody who is a little bit faster, somebody who can jump a little bit higher, somebody who's a little bit smarter, maybe somebody, you know, you have these traits that are accentuated better than, say, the normal human, almost superhuman. Is that a superpower? So this is going to be kind of a fun list. So I'm glad we're diving into this. Mine are not that at all. Mine are super powers. Mine are super out of the norm. So mine are very comic booky. So okay. This is going to be a good list. So do you want to jump into this?
Yeah. Okay. You brought something to my attention too that it just popped in my head there. What was that Ben Affleck movie where he had the pills he was taking? That gave him like superhuman, like brain processing power. Do you remember that movie?
So there, it wasn't Ben Affleck.
No. Who was it then?
It was, oh my God. No, I do this. Affleck. No. You're talking about Limitless.
Limitless.
And it's Bradley Cooper.
Oh, it's Bradley Cooper. That's right. He was doing the stock trading, making money. Yeah.
Right. Who's my doppelganger, if you will. Only he has nice hair and he can speak French and, you know, he's cool. But I would love him to play me in a movie.
I've heard you speak some French before.
In
the form of four-letter words.
Yeah, usually it's at the top of my lungs. But he definitely had a superpower in his cognitive ability. So that's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Limitless.
A fun movie.
They had a spinoff TV show, which I actually didn't watch, but I heard it was good.
Huh. This, we'll call this the Limitless episode.
There we go. All right, sir. Are you kicking this thing off or am I?
You pick a number between 1 and 10 and I'll guess it.
Okay.
If I'm close, I go. If I'm not, you go.
Okay, got it.
2.
What do you mean if you're close?
Like if I guessed the number close to what your number was, or if I guessed it, I don't know. You just go. Why don't you kick this thing off?
Okay. Well, I had
the whiskey speaking there.
The number I had was 6, so you weren't close. So I'll go first. All right. So this first one is a little broad. It's been portrayed in countless movies, but this one is the ability to fly. Now, this, of course, would be incredible, right? If we could all just fly. But does that mean that you would fly at the speed that you run? Because that would be cool for, you know, a little while. And then it would kind of suck to think, okay, well, why don't I just get in the car? Because I can go faster. But if you can fly as fast as Superman, then that's incredible, right? And if you can fly to, you know, France and do so super quickly like Superman, that's incredible. Again, though, if you can fly as fast as you can walk, it's going to take you, you know, a month to get to France. So maybe not. But flight, I think, would be so cool. And I would love to have that as a superpower if it was in the superhero style of being able to fly at a fast speed. So that was my only little caveat with flight. Although it would be great to be able to just, you know, levitate and soar and fly up. To be able to fly fast would also be incredible. So for me, number 5, flying.
Flying definitely was on one of the lists that was my initial 15 that I then narrowed it down from. I get it.
Yours are better than mine. That's cool. That's cool.
It's a good start. I'll explain why, because I had some questions around it. So I personally enjoy flying. I enjoy commercial flights. I enjoy a smaller aircraft. We come from a family of pilots, and
yep.
I've thought about it at some point in my life. It'd be really fun to get my pilot's license.
Yep.
My questions that, I know we're doing a hypothetical, this is a fun list, whatever, but I started getting too practical with the flying. I'm like, okay, flying, if I'm going really fast, that means when I run into bugs and objects in the sky, like, am I going to be eating stuff? And is my face going to look like the front of my windshield?
Right.
And then I thought too, I'm like, the faster I go, the colder it's going to get with a wind chill. Like, what does this involve? Am I like in a bubble flying, or am I just in the elements? I got too practical with the flying one. And with all those questions, I ended up pulling it off my list. So flying was one of my honorables for number 5.
Cool.
But
cool.
It would be really fun though.
No, that's great. I'll go fuck myself. That's awesome.
Well, I give you free rein, of course, to beat up my list. My number 5.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt and say,
okay. I knew this list was going to be a fun one.
Yeah. So honorable mention for flying is to teleport.
Yeah. Similar. I think teleporting is a better move though.
Yeah, I think it is now that you shit all over my parade. I think that teleporting would make more sense. But I just, you know, then I go all practical. And I don't want my forearm coming out of my forehead because the teleportation thing
maybe
didn't
line up.
Yeah,
up
I mean, yeah. Maybe, and yeah. So, nope, still going with flying. Thanks. Your turn.
I love it. Yeah, because maybe the technology isn't quite up to speed where they download you into the new place and they got something out of place. I think there's a Family Guy episode about
that. Yep, it's exactly right. That's where I'm going. That's where I get a lot of my research.
Likewise.
Is Family Guy. I just get super, super into Family Guy, and then I'm ready to write my lists each week.
So my number 5 is probably the most practical and realistic on my list. Mm-hmm. And every now and then I think I might have this, but it once I get a perspective shift, it obviously goes away. But okay. Every now and then I feel. And I think every guy out there would want this superpower, and every guy out there is trying to strive to achieve this superpower. And that's just simply superhuman strength.
Oh,
like yeah. Hulk strength, you know?
Yeah.
every now and then I get these like things. I'm like, oh yeah, that's, I'm the best. That's the strongest. I bumped my mic just now. but yeah, it's something that every guy strives for, superhuman strength.
That's a good one. It's very true, because even to this day, I think about the most that I ever benched, or a time when I like achieved something physically like that. And I go, oh man, that was fucking awesome. I mean, cool, I can do this. And that made some money. Great. But I lifted that, you know, you can't help it. It's like, it's just your deep rooted heart inside you is like, oh yeah, no, but I lifted some cool shit.
Yeah. And, my goals and my level of measurement in the gym has changed over the years. You know, it's moved more towards, I just want to look good naked.
Yep.
And I want to feel good. I want that endorphin rush from working out, you know, versus like years ago, I was like, okay, I want to add another 50 pounds to my deadlift, or, you know, another 20 pounds to my bench or whatever it is. And I don't care what I lift, as long as I look good and as long as I feel good afterwards. That's kind of where I'm at now.
Okay, I got a follow up question. Is there like a movie or scene or someone achieving something where you were like, yeah, that is the not necessarily the epitome of superhuman strength, but when you're looking at it, you're like, oh man, that's cool. Like, and it could be the Hulk doing something. It could be Sylvester Stallone as Rocky. It could be whatever. Is there something that you look at and you're like, oh man, yeah, that's superhuman strength. That's awesome.
Because I haven't watched a lot of those movies, it's more of like a nondescript. I'd love to be able to pick up a car and throw it.
Okay.
You know, that type of thing. I'd like to be able to rip a fire hydrant out, you know, and just basic stuff. There's no real specific movies. It'd be like, yeah, that inspired me.
Okay. So we get a little bit of Superman and Hulk with that. Okay. I got it. Okay.
I'd like to be able to stand in an intersection and put out my hands in either direction and like stop cars, like physically with my arms, you know, and just.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
That's yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Punch a hole through, you know, a building or whatever, you know,
I like that.
Superhuman strength. So that's my number five.
That's cool. Yeah, seriously. That's awesome. Number four for me is, I know that you're not a big Marvel guy, but this is probably one that you'll understand. And I just wrote this down as Magneto. Now, Magneto is the guy that can manipulate and use metal. And he can do so in a way that not only can he mold and shape and do all this kind of stuff, but because of the raw mass of metal, then he can then fly or levitate himself and do that. So I'm not trying to cheat and do your genie has three wishes kind of game, but I kind of am. So his ability to shape and mold metal and to be able to do that, allowing himself to even like levitate within it, I think is amazing. And I think it would be so cool. And am I going to make $1 million off it? Do I have any plans for taking over the world? Neither of those two. At the same time, it would be really cool to be able to, you know, mold some metal around and fly around and do that kind of stuff. So for number four for me is Magneto.
Yo. So the only experience I have with like superheroes and stuff like that is I did watch the animated X-Men.
Oh yeah. That's how we all got our start. I love it.
Yeah. And that actually revolves around one of my most embarrassing stories ever.
Yes.
I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade. I used to be really into art. I used to draw and draw and draw and draw. That's all I did when I was younger.
Sure.
And at one point I drew Storm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Storm. Did. Very busty, very sexy.
Of course. I stumbled onto Marvel when I was early teens, so I'm very familiar with Storm.
So I was doing one of those, you know, sleep. I was young enough to where we were doing sleepovers, you know, with my buddies, and I drew Storm with colored pencils, and it was really good, and it turned out way better than I thought. And then my buddy that I was with, he's like, "Oh, that looks like blah 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 from our class."
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, instead of calling it Storm, why don't you just call it? And I can't remember the girl's name from the class. So
oh, no.
I wrote a bunch of graphics on it and wrote her name on it.
Oh God.
And then I accidentally left it at his house and his parents found it. And I went to a super small school. So they're like, are you drawing people in your class? Is this some kind of weird sexual thing?
Oh no.
Cause it was pretty sexual sure. for what it was, you know? And so that was super, I didn't get in trouble. It was
cleavage.
Yeah. Plunging cleavage, crazy waistline. And I got embarrassed. I didn't get in trouble, but obviously I got embarrassed by it. I was like, sorry, Mrs. Thompson or whatever her name was. That wasn't, yeah.
Doesn't that,
to find that.
I mean, we're going to go back to Adam Ranson for a second, because that is just, it just grinds my gears when we find a thing that a kid is interested in and find a way to make him not be interested in that for some reason. I just, I get so frustrated with that.
Magneto.
Anyway, Magneto. Yeah. Well, Storm obviously was super over sexualized on the comic, on the
right.
comic cards, which were, they were like, I had Marvel Masterpiece comic cards.
Who is the other one that was sexy that I'm thinking of?
A Rogue.
Oh yeah. Rogue.
And then Jean Grey. I mean, just about any of them were sexy as hell, but let's be real. Halle Berry played her in the movie. So, I mean, clearly she's gorgeous. I mean, anyway, so that took a little sidebar there, but Magneto for me.
So Magneto. Yeah, there's so many different things you can do with that superpower. And I alluded to picking up cars and throwing cars. I mean, obviously that's something you can do with that. You can pull airplanes out of the sky.
Yeah.
Climb buildings.
I think my honorable mention was electricity for that one.
Okay.
And
yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
And then it's funny you said Storm, because I said control the weather. It would be another honorable mention. So yeah, man, we're all kind of on the same page here.
Hey, this list is fun. I knew this list was going to be fun. we're off and running here.
All right. Number four for you, sir.
So number four for me is really fascinating, because this is something that they're just starting to kind of understand how this element works. And this is something that I Googled as a superpower. And at first it popped up on one list. I'm like, is that a superpower? Not really. But then it kept popping up on other lists. And that's the ability to time bend, like to freeze time.
Okay.
So
take me through that a little bit.
Yeah. So if like you're in a scene, like 1,000 people in there, you can freeze time and move freely while everyone's frozen in time.
Okay.
Time travel is something that really fascinates me. The ability to go back in time would be just mind blowing. But I didn't go that far. Just the ability to freeze time and be like, you know, you see something unfolding, you can stop it, you can prevent it, you can exploit it, you know, if you need to. You know, Donald Trump's getting ready to say something ridiculous. You pause time and then go like run up there and mess up his hair, you know, on a comedic level, you just go mess up his hair or something like that. And start time back up. And then, or you could use it to like steal money, you know, whatever. There are all different elements to that, but the ability to like time bend and freeze time.
So that's a really good one. So the comparisons that I will draw are Professor X in Marvel.
Okay. I know who he is. Yeah.
He's got a lot of cognitive ability.
Okay.
But he has moments where he's pausing time for those that he wants to pause the time. And then then we'll go the DC route and go Flash has the ability to go so fast that it's like freezing time, because he's moving so quickly to be able to do it, is another one. And then obviously down the DC side again is Superman being able to spin the earth backwards to be able to go back in time to fix things and save Lois from the earthquake. But very good.
It made the list because it's something that I would use on a daily basis if I had that power. You know, if like I'm in a business meeting, I'd pause the meeting real quick and then, you know, pull down someone's pants and then restart the time. They're like, whoa, what are you doing, bro?
Right. Right. You should start doing that now. pause, go over, pull down somebody's pants, and then be like, unpause. And then be like, Nick, you need psychiatric help. Sorry, that was funny. You know, I don't know. Try it. You should try it. I
think in a crowded room, most people would probably think that's pretty funny. You know, one or two people might think that's kind of rapey and predator. And
yeah, but, yeah, probably shouldn't take down the pants of somebody that doesn't want it. However, in our top five fantasy list, it's totally doable. Okay, so number three for me actually hits in the same wheelhouse as yours. So I listed off a couple of Marvel and then DC comics that related to yours, only because I knew that mine was coming up and I didn't want to say the exact same ones. So mine is to replay time or do-overs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. And similar genre. Yeah,
exactly. Similar. Exactly. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I have another homework assignment for you, which is another movie to watch. Now, this one, I think you and Jane will both dig. This one is a Richard Curtis movie. And Richard Curtis was famous for doing Love Actually, and he did the Bridget Jones Diary series and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Love Actually is a great movie. But this
Love one, Actually, I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah. So Richard Curtis. Yeah. So the movie that I'm about to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's called About Time. And the reason it's not necessarily DC or Marvel, but it's the same kind of superpower. Now, this is done in a romantic comedy style of way, just like Richard Curtis does. However, being able to replay time or do a do-over. Now, they had rules in this movie where once you went back a certain level, then things couldn't be changed. Like, you know, after your child was born, you can't necessarily go back before that, you know, and things like that. But the premise of the movie, they would go, the men of this particular family had the ability to do do-overs, and they could go into the closet, clench their fists and try really hard. And then they could go back to that particular moment and have a do-over. And it was a really cool idea. It was a really cool way of, you know, they're like, okay, I went in that movie and totally botched it. Let's try that again. Oh, cool. I went on this date with this girl, totally botched it. Oh, the first sexual experience with this girl, totally botched it. Let's try it again. You know, like all this stuff. I mean, it's just great. So I don't want to spoil it. At the same time, what they kind of discover is you should just live your life like you only got one shot at it. You know, and what they find is that you essentially live your life the second time. So if the first time you were super reserved and you were trying to do it right, great. And then the second time you tried it through and you were like, nah, I'll be comfortable and I'll just do it the way that I would normally do it. And let me just give it the best I can. You start living your life that way anyway. So it was a really cool message. I don't think I spoiled too much of it. Obviously I didn't give away a ton of it. But it's a homework assignment for you, is to see that movie About Time.
That's interesting. Yeah. I constantly think about when I'm going to like a new client meeting or new circle of friends, I'm like, I have the ability to show up in whatever way I want to show up.
Yep.
And so that's kind of a similar vein. I'm kind of always trying to think about, okay, how do I want to show up? What kind of energy do I want to bring? Because you only got one shot to make a first impression. But yeah, that sounds like a movie that's right up our alley.
That sounds like an Eminem quote. So I got another piece of knowledge to drop that I actually got from Mr. Kanye West, which I don't always love quoting, but sometimes, and he's been recorded so many times that he comes up with some pretty good shit every once in a while. But Kanye West talked about how if you live life like you are coming up with the right answers always, then you are living your life like you are going through a test. And if you look at what causes the most anxiety for most human beings, it's when they're test taking. And if you're living your life like you are constantly in a test, you will 100% give yourself an opportunity to have anxiety through your life. So the point is just do your thing, live your life, be you, and don't try to be right all the time. Don't try to get an A on the test all the time. Just go for it. And I mean, I know that that's arbitrary garbage kind of advice. At the same time, with the idea that we spend a lot of our times trying to have the right answer all the time, then we are living our life in a test. And that is absolutely recipe to be filled with anxiety. So anyway, shout out to Mr. Kanye West there for a second.
Solid. Any honorables?
Not at this time.
Okay. I'll hit a quick honorable before I hit my number three. We were talking about travel earlier, so I'll throw out the superhuman speed.
Yep.
You know, the ability to run or whatever it is really, really fast, get somewhere really, really fast is yeah. fun.
That's an honorable for me as well. So, yep.
Nice. So my number three is something that Elon Musk is working on.
Ooh.
And I do think it is something that is going to be somewhat, not applicable, but somewhat, operational in our lifetime.
Yeah.
With the Neuralink, and that's the ability to read minds, telepathy.
Ooh, such a good one.
That'd be so good to be able to read what someone's thinking in a meeting, read what, you know, a girl's thinking on a first date, whatever, and just manipulate situations for financial gain, whatever it is, and or social status, whatever it is. Just the ability to read minds and respond.
Yeah.
Without anyone knowing, you know, oh, how'd you, wait, what? You said, you know, just the ability to be able to catch people off guard and profit all kinds of gains from that.
Such a good one. Such a good one. Telepathy. I love it. I had teleport. I had telekinesis. My boy Grant threw out telekinesis. That was really good.
Yep.
And telepathy is so good. So Kurt threw out to me, I texted him a couple minutes before the podcast and I was like, you know, superpowers he got. He was like, knowing people's intentions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there you go.
I mean, it's all Professor X stuff, right? Getting into the brain and being able to read people's minds. That's so good. I love it. I love it. Feeds right into my number two. I'm on number two, right? Number two.
Yeah.
For me?
Number two.
Yeah. Number two for me, I think, is one step towards deviance from yours, which is manipulation.
In what way?
I think the ability of mentally manipulating. So not necessarily physically, which would be the telekinesis.
Oh, to influence them.
Or the magneto of being able to manipulate metal, things like that. But the manipulation of your mind. So in down the Marvel universe, and I'm not talking Avengers, I'm talking more of the X-Men stuff, in the movie Logan? Logan, his wife had the ability of manipulation. So if she was touching you, she could then convince you to do X, Y, or Z. And Professor X also had the ability to kind of influence you in your mind. So I think that manipulation, being able to manipulate people or a person or people as a whole, would be an incredible superpower. So especially if you're trying to make change or sell something or any of that kind of stuff, I think that manipulation would be...
Convince your wife on something. What would be the first thing you would do if you had that power?
Man.
Keep it PG somewhat.
Great follow-up question.
Would it be financial gain somehow, or would it be...
I think that it would just... So back to my Kanye West quote. I think it would just be, I'm going to be me, and I will manipulate the response that I want. I get made fun of this all the time from my wife because I'm a Leo and I like responses and I like interaction and I like people telling me that I was great or whatever like that. So the manipulation of I'm just going to be me and I just want people to love it. I think would be the selfish aspect, and then from there the financial, the famous, the successful, all that just comes from it.
I have a tough time like going too deep into the fantasy world. I just can't get my brain to go that far. Like my first thoughts were like, oh, I'm going to manipulate a free upgrade. I'm going to manipulate the customer service hotline when I'm trying to complain about it. I'm going to manipulate you know, some kind of daily interaction.
Well, think about any interaction or anything decision that you make is if you break it down to the point of it's a negotiation. Mm-hmm. And someone is winning or losing that negotiation. And it could even be with yourself. It could be whether we're like getting up in the morning. Is it not a negotiation between your drive and your laziness or your drive and your tiredness? It's a negotiation. So if you break everything down to a negotiation and then you go, okay, every negotiation I can manipulate, that would be an interesting place to go.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah, buddy. See, Star Wars is about as far as I go on my fantasy land.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
I love it. Am I on number two?
You are number two. Well, I'm gonna hit
get an honorable, please.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna hit an honorable. I'm gonna hit an edible.
Is that the peach schnapps speaking?
Yeah. This stuff's delicious. For my number two. Is the ability to heal.
Yeah.
So like Wolverine, everybody, you know, is like, oh yeah, no, he's just like super strong. He's just buff. He's strong. He has metal. His ability to heal is the most like coolest part of Wolverine, I think, is, and that's how he was able to have that animantium skeleton put over his bones is because he has the ability to heal. So I do think I would live life a whole lot differently if I could just heal, just like with a snap of the fingers.
I also had that on my honorables too, regenerative power.
Yeah. Look yeah. at you. You're going to be a zombie.
We're in the same vein there. Another honorable for me was I never had a lot of, I always grew up with like Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels and Lincoln Logs and Legos, but my friends were complete opposite. They always had the superheroes.
Sure.
And one of the things that popped up in my Google search for superhuman powers was Stretch Armstrong style, you know, stretching ability.
Yep.
I thought that was kind of cheesy, but it'd be kind of fun to be able to reach, you know, 100 feet, grab something, or I don't know, whatever. But do you know the Stretch Armstrong doll?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's
doll.
Is
he called a doll or action figure?
Stretch Armstrong doll.
Is it a doll? And, yeah, doll and, sounds kind of feminine.
Well, it was open architecture. Mr. Fantastic was a member of the Fantastic Four, and he could stretch. Anyway,
okay.
Totally
yeah,
nerdy.
Honorable for me.
Yeah. Totally nerdy. Sorry.
No, this is good. my number two was when we first made this list, this was one that I thought would immediately be my number one until I really started researching, you know, feasible superpowers. My number two is the ability to be invisible.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure that was gonna be my number one until I, like I said, researched, you know, what's capable in the fantasy land here, but the ability to move without anyone seeing you would have so many applications. I would make financial gains off that. I would probably turn into a closet theft.
Yep. Mine. This is mine. Yeah.
I would eavesdrop on conversations. I would use it for financial gain. I would use it for all kinds of things.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good one. So we got a couple. So there was the Invisible Girl in the Fantastic Four. We also had a couple of good movies, and I'm blanking on it right now, with the Kevin Bacon movie.
Yeah, I couldn't think of that one either.
I can't think of that, but that was late 90s, early 2000s. But then we had the Invisible Man that came out just, I want to say, 2 years ago. In the time of COVID, I have a tough time because it was supposed to come out in theaters in the time of COVID, but then it was released. But it stars, what's her name? I think it's Elizabeth Olsen from The Handmaid's Tale. And I just hit my microphone. Handmaid's Tale and Mad Men. But she is the protagonist in The Invisible Man. And it was another, you know, another type of movie where somebody, you know, comes up with the ability to make themselves invisible. So obviously those movies all turn out using their abilities for bad.
But, yeah.
But I'm sure you'd be able to handle it.
Well, the funny thing is like you're invisible, but like it's still, if like someone bumps into you, that's kind of the fun thing. Like you still have to move.
Right.
Like secretly and like quietly and stealthily. But if someone like, if you're trying to sneak into a building and you're in an elevator and someone bumps into you, like they're going to feel you.
And you have to be naked. So it depends on what part they're feeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
Never thought about that.
You're like, I'm in this elevator naked. Who's feeling the weird guy's dick?
That's not too far fetched for me. I'm naked most days.
Right, right. Yeah. Check earlier part of this episode, the tripod segment.
Tripod segment. Hence the reason why we don't have a lot of guests in the house. You know, it's kind of awkward.
Oh, so good. So good. All right.
Honorable for number two real quick would be, I'm trying to pick a couple that maybe are not on your list. X-ray vision.
Oh, good one.
X-ray vision would be kind of fun to be able to see through buildings, walls, clothes. Ha ha ha.
Iron underwear. Or no, excuse me, lead underwear.
Right.
That would get heavy. That would get heavy.
Hey.
Okay. All right. So I'm on number one, which means I need to recap. All right. So number five for me was the ability to fly, or flying, that Nick rained all over my parade on that one.
Number questions.
Four is Magneto style, being able to manipulate metal. Number three was the movie About Time, the ability to replay time or do-overs. Number two is manipulation. I want to manipulate your mind. Number one for me is exciting for me. So
number one,
I have been a fan of this for a long time. But for an honorable mention, I'm going to throw out similar to ones we've talked about, but this one is See the Future.
Oh, okay.
So that was an honorable mention. But this one, I forgot about this one. Honorable mention, yeah. The ability to read minds, or if you speak Zoolander, anorexia. Obviously, don't cancel me. That's, anorexia is terrible. But in Zoolander, she's like, I struggle with anorexia. You can read minds. Anyway, check out Zoolander. Don't make fun of me. But number one for me is the Force. And it might be kind of cheating because there's lots of things that fit into the Force. You can kind of see the future. You can kind of manipulate things. Only the weak minds, of course. You can kind of telekinesis. You can kind of levitate. You can kind of do all these things. So I'm cheating a little bit, but also not really, because who gives a shit? And it's the Force and it's awesome.
How do you cheat on this list, really?
So I am going with number one, Star Wars, the Force.
That's that's kind of similar to like the ability to manipulate their minds, similar, and but it's also like you can move objects. You can that was one of the things that was on my honorable list, was the ability to manipulate objects.
I mean, it kind of hits all of my
That's a
my honorable mentions. We got knowing people's intentions. We got telekinesis. We got electricity. We got controlling the weather. Well, I don't know about that one. See the future. Yeah, super speed. Probably not. Teleport, not really. Heal, kind of. So, I mean, you know, maybe a little bit.
Same question. What would you with it first?
It would be really fun to be able to feel those around me, right? Understand and feel the energy. I know I make fun of things like, let me just feel your vibe and your vibrations, man. I wasn't feeling his vibe. But to be able to connect with those around me, understand a greater good, and be able to manipulate the surroundings with the force, I think would be really cool to be able to feel. We've talked about this before, but being able to feel small, but also being a connected part of something, I think is really, really important to me. And I think the force is the fantasy version of that. And then there's also an order that you live within, which that Jedi order, which is loosely based on the samurai, of having routine and constantly getting better at something and believing and being a part of and all that kind of stuff, I think is just fantastic. So if you lump all that stuff together, the force is just no question my number one.
I think Yoda would probably revoke my force privileges.
Mm, yeah, probably, because all the things we do.
Yeah, the first two things that came to mind when I'm thinking about the force, uh-huh, in a public situation, I would love to make people fart.
Yeah.
Out of place, just yep. randomly, audibly.
Yeah.
And then I'd also be popping bras.
Oh, okay.
All the time. Just snap the finger, Fonzie style. You're like, oops. Hey.
Oh, malfunction.
I think I'd be too irresponsible for the force.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not invited.
Dang. I canceled myself from the list. Yeah. This hypothetical list.
All right. Number one for you. Recap it. Give it to us. Lay it all out there.
Yes. My superhuman. We got to name these superheroes because we've assembled five elements that would create a superpower, superhero. We got to name our personal superhero in the future episode.
Super bro. Super Mario. What?
Super bro. My number five superpower would be superhuman strength.
Yeah. Hulk.
I want to pick up and throw cars at people. I want to be able to rip buildings off their foundation.
Yep.
Number four for me was time bending, the ability to pause time and move throughout things with, you know, everyone frozen in time, or even be able to, you know, like similar to what you said, you know, reverse things and do do-overs.
Yep.
Or fast forward things.
Trying to steal mine. I get it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, I mean, we're in fantasy land here. I didn't quite, I'm relying on Google to guide me through this fantasy land here. Number three. It actually is really funny when you start Googling superpowers, because there's a whole bunch of like nerd debates on Google about, no, that's unrealistic. No, you wouldn't be able to do that. And then like, there's actually nerd arguments about pros and cons of each superpower, like the downsides of the superpower and the upsides.
Yeah. Yep.
There's more than one list that had ups and downs of each list, or pros and cons of each list.
You will get yourself virtually bludgeoned in this.
Number three for me was telepathy, the ability to read minds and use that for my advantage. Number two for me was invisible. I want to be able to move through space without anyone seeing me. I want to be able to, you know, steal money. I want to be able to drop in on conversations. I want to be able to witness things that I'm not supposed to witness and be all over the world without people knowing me. I'd be a world traveler if I was invisible.
Hell yeah.
Cause I wouldn't be, you know, subject to being robbed, killed. Yeah. I'd be in some really hairy situations.
Yeah. Hairy is the key word, because you'd be naked. But would you like sneak on planes and just be like, I'm the naked guy. Hopefully there's an empty seat.
I'd sneak on planes. I'd mess with people's stuff. A lot of my superpowers kind of came back to the comedic element. I love messing with people.
You're like, sorry about your elbow. It was just in my crack.
Yeah, spill a drink on someone.
Let me stir your drink with my, what? Sorry.
If you fart while you're invisible, does the after effect still have the same repercussions?
No, it turns green, so you see it.
Oh, you see it. Okay, so yeah. There's this nauseous gas that comes. Okay.
Yeah, you are invisible. However, that's
not any elements that come out of you. Okay, so I got some research to do on this invisible thing, guys. Stand by for future clarification on that.
Yeah, before you turn the switch, before you go invisible, you got to learn some things about it. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Excuse me. Yeah. I feel wildly irresponsible here.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my number one. And this was super fascinating to me when I started researching the pros and cons of this superpower. And I know you're going to have follow-up questions, but my superpower for number one would be shape-shifting, the ability to assume someone else's likeness or something's likeness and become that person or that object, whatever it is, you know?
Okay. So in anticipation for you to have shape-shifting as your number one, I did watch an episode of Family Guy where Peter had the ability to do so. And in some cases he'd be a mole in somebody's cleavage. He would, yeah. So
Quagmire was a condom in one of the episodes.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, I want to be a condom. Giggity, giggity, giggity. And, he thought he knew exactly where he was going, but it turned out to be a condom owned by someone of the homosexual nature.
Oh, yeah. You'll He's have like, that.
No.
Surprised you didn't want to be a tampon, although.
Yeah. I think it might have been a tampon. Or I don't know. No, it was a condom. It was a condom.
Oh, all right. Man. So tell me about your shape shifting. What would you do? What would you use it for?
From the very basic stuff, I'd morph into a celebrity to allow to be let into places and then quickly morph back so I don't draw a lot of attention.
Sure. So you would be Mystique.
Mystique. I love the mystery. The invisible and the mystery were the two things that really resonated with me.
Yeah. So down the X-Men line, you would be Mystique. You would be able to take over somebody's identity.
I got my mind wrapped around what my superhero name would be.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You go.
We got to come up with names now based on our superpowers.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know if I have any honorables. Let's see here. No honorables there. Of the 15 I had written down, I think we've covered all of them basically.
Yeah.
But shape-shifting, assuming objects would be my number one.
That was a heck of a list, brother.
These lists, like I said, they're all over the place. It's we try to alternate between, you know, topical, realistic stuff. And then these fantasy ones are fun because it gets me outside of my element.
Yeah.
It gets me outside of my normal pathways of thinking.
Yeah. Well, we hope it inspires thought. And obviously, if we miss something, let us know. Hit us up on the Instagram. Write us a comment. Whatever you want to do. But, you know, definitely let us know where we either hit the mark or miss the mark. This was a blast, man. I had a really good time with this one.
Yeah. I feel like this is an episode where we'll definitely get some feedback on as far as like, you know, powers we missed or powers we overlooked. So yeah, keep those comments coming.
Yeah.
Are we getting out of fantasy land for next week? What are we doing for next week?
Next week, it's a little bit more practical fantasies. And the way that I'll describe that is, next week is the top five adventures to take. Okay. So that could be in itself a fantasy, but at the same time, you ink what you think. And if you put this down on a list, you might just achieve this adventure. So I don't know that this is so much of a fantasy as a something we got to do. So next week, top five adventures to take.
I love it. Yeah, similar to the bucket list episode, but this is more all encompassing. You know, it's not a destination we're trying to travel it to. It involves the experience around the adventure. So
yes, and you know, as we do on these lists, you can be as broad or as specific as you want. So if there's something particular that Nick Powers knows about that he thinks is an incredible adventure, that specific thing that you need to bring to light, by all means do so. But if it's something broad and just a general idea, bring that as well. So it's going to be a fun list, man.
Outstanding, man. As always, thanks to you. Thank you to the one or two listeners that stuck with us this long.
Yeah, man.
Powerfall Project. I'm Nick.
I'm Adam. Another one in the books.
Catch you guys next week.
Later.